Now we're going to read scripture this morning from first from Jeremiah 33:14-16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteous. And then the gospel reading from Luke 21:28-33. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at a fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all the things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Well, you will see the tree, obviously. I dealt with trees this week, three of them, as a matter of fact. If there is one decoration that has become synonymous with this time of year, it's an evergreen Christmas tree. You may know the tradition. The great Protestant reformer, Martin Luther, who, by the way, was the author of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. You didn't know that. I was going to mention him. Martin Luther was walking through a snowy forest in Germany. This was around what we would call the early 1500s. He came across a snow-covered evergreen tree, and the moon was shining on it, and the snow on the tree sparkled. And in that light, he was reminded of the stars in the sky on the night of Jesus' birth. Martin was so moved by this experience that he cut a branch, one of those snow-covered branches, and brought it home to show his children. And then, after the snow melted, he put the branch and arranged candles in it. From that beginning, the German tradition of the Christmas tree, or as they call it, Tannenbaum, was born. Now, later, when Prince Albert, who was German, married Queen Victoria, he brought that tradition of the Christmas tree into the English-speaking world. It's not a very old tradition, as some traditions go, but it has become so important that we cannot hardly imagine this time of year without a decorated tree. Now, in Jesus' time, evergreens were known, and there is one that's often mentioned in the Bible, the well-known and famed cedars of Lebanon. There was also an early tradition that the Romans had and that the Christians adopted of taking evergreen branches as a symbol of victory and placing them around the house. So when you have all of those traditions coming together, you see the origin of our use of the tree and of greenery for this time of the year. In our reading from the gospel, Jesus speaks of trees. But it's not an evergreen he has in mind. Instead, it's a tree that has green leaves in its new branches. The gospel writer Luke introduces it by saying, Jesus tells a parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. Now, in our part of the world, we are approaching winter. If you did not get that this week, then surprise, it's right on us. All of our non-evergreen trees, the deciduous trees, have lost their leaves. A fig tree is a deciduous tree. It loses its leaves in winter. And it will be months for us until spring. But here in our gospel is Jesus talking about sprouting leaves and summers. It seems like such a long way away. But here's the thing. We know it's coming. We know spring will come. We know summer will come. And we know that there will be leaves on the trees. When the trees lose their leaves, we don't cut them down because they're dead. We know they're just waiting for spring and summer. When Jesus says this, it's actually not a particularly profound observation. It was something the disciples knew. It's a truism. I don't think Jesus means for it to be particularly profound. I mean, he says this phrase, you can see for yourselves. He's only pointing out what the disciples already know. He's telling us to look at what we already know. Now, but saying that, you know sometimes how you are, and like I know sometimes how I am. Something can be evident right there in front of us, and we just don't see it. The other day, I was driving up North Rhone. I had a destination in mind, a place that I was going to. I knew where it was. I knew what to look for. I knew where to turn. But just as I was needing to make that turn, something distracted me. You know what? It was a Dollar General store. I saw the Dollar General store, and immediately my mind went to somewhere else. Not because I needed to go. It was just one of those things. And I went right by where I was supposed to turn. And I did not even notice it until the next stoplight, and I got there, and I thought, this isn't right. I had to turn around. It was right, and when I got there, the Dollar General store was around the corner. I just completely missed it. There are times when it becomes necessary to point out to us the things that we already know and the things that we already see. We just don't notice them. Somehow, we don't see what's right there. I think Jesus does this with the disciples many times. The scene is the temple. They're in the temple. They look around, and Jesus has them see the temple for what it is. Look at the temple. Jesus is teaching in the temple. In that day, the disciples thought, and most people would have thought, that the temple is, of all the places on the earth, the temple in Jerusalem, that is the place where the kingdom of God is most evident. But Jesus has been teaching them. He starts talking about the temple's destruction. It's a terrible event. The disciples, the Jews, they could not hardly begin to think that somehow the temple would ever be destroyed. But it's an event that when it does happen, it devastates the Jews and the Jewish Christians. The temple in Jerusalem, the temple that Jesus was in, the temple that the disciples knew, it was destroyed around the year 70. Now, our gospel, the gospel of Luke, Most biblical scholars believe that it is written somewhere around the year 80. That generation of the early church. It's hard for us to imagine the horrors of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. But those first readers of Luke understood what Jesus was saying because they knew it. They lived it. An account by a Jewish historian tells about the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem. The Romans went in and they killed all of the old folks, all of the people who were infirm. He writes that everyone who was over the age of 17 was sent to mines in Egypt. And everyone who was under the age of 17 was enslaved. Many were chosen to be sent to Roman amphitheaters, where for entertainment they were killed by gladiators and wild animals. So when Jesus speaks of horrific things happening to the temple and to Jerusalem, those readers of Luke who first read it, they knew what he was talking about. Jesus says, people will faint from fear and foreboding for what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That's right here near this reading. We read stuff like that in the Bible. Our first thought will be, it doesn't apply to us. This is for someone else. This is for some other generation. Some generation long ago or some generation way, way years to come. But it is for us to remember that in those early years of the church, when people read what Jesus was saying, they understood it was hard. It was sometimes dangerous to be a Christian. And the Romans tended to lump the Christians and the Jews together. They didn't see a whole lot of difference at this point. Now, in this season of the year, it is so easy for us to skip over all of the unpleasant details that we would just rather not see. We would much rather spend our time with comforting pictures, manger scenes, all of our greenery, our Christmas trees. But don't forget to see things for yourself. Christmas is not about escapism from the trials and dangers of the world. Now, in the tradition of the church, we're not at Christmas. We sometimes just have to remind ourselves of that. This is the season of Advent. Christmas begins on December the 25th and it lasts for 12 days. Advent is the 4 weeks before Christmas. Well, one of the things that we should do in Advent is take time to see ourselves and to see our reality for what it is in this world that we live in. There's some things that are really awful, and we cannot cover those things up with evergreens and bows. But it's not that we shouldn't celebrate. We should celebrate. We need to celebrate. What we need to celebrate is God's intervention in those things, the coming of Jesus into the world. Advent is about Jesus coming to us, coming to our world, coming in the midst of all of the things that go on, all of the things that we deal with. In our time, just like the time of those early Christians reading the Gospel of Luke for the first time, and just like it was when Jesus was in the temple talking to the disciples. The world that we live in is a place that often has violence and disaster. The world that we live in is a place where there is injustice and pain, where there is suffering and fear and death. The temple does not mask any of those realities for the disciples. Not if they look and see what is evident. And so Jesus has them to look at something that they know. See for yourselves, he says. It's as evident as the leaves on the trees. See the reality of things for ourselves and for our world. But even as we see the reality, we recognize the problems of the world, at the same time, we see the kingdom of God. Now for Jesus to point out the kingdom of God is as much a truism as the leaves on the trees. So he says to them, so also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. See our world. See our world with all of its problems. Yes. But at the same time, know this, the kingdom of God is near. And it's not so much about chronology or timetables or predicting the end of things as it is seeing with the eyes of faith. Now, there are problems in the world. Yes, but there's also the kingdom of God. And here is our reason for hope. Do you see hope? It's evident. It's right there in front of you. Do you know where to look for hope? Don't look at me. You won't find it. It's not over here on this side. But there's hope right in front of you. You still don't see it. You're not looking at it. Well, some of you have a little bit of a hard time because of the geography of the sanctuary, but if you're sitting over here on this side, you know where to look and to see hope. It's on the banner, on the Advent wreath, the first candle we lit, the candle of hope. It's right there. It's right there. If you didn't notice it until I called your attention to it, I understand. Sometimes we just don't see the things that are right in front of us. Jesus is telling the disciples to look and see what they see. So he says to them, look, there's a woman in the temple giving her offering. He says to the disciples, look and see all these great stones of the temple. And he says, look and see the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth, on earth, distress among nations. See all of those things, the wonder as well as the things that are not so wonderful. See all of these things with faith. The faith that is the nearness of the kingdom of God. Faith that is a righteous branch that will spring up. One who will execute justice and righteousness in those lands where now there is too much distress. If Martin Luther was inspired by a snowy branch of evergreen, we should be inspired by all of the branches of evergreen that we decorate with and see them as reminders of what it says to us in Jeremiah. A righteous branch has sprung up off of the tree of David. And that branch is the one who brings hope to our world. The hope of God's kingdom with all of its justice and all of its promise of peace. It's unfortunate that there are too many people in our world who only concentrate on the problems of the world and do so only with fear and foreboding and think about the destruction of society and lawlessness and things like racial division and distrust and outright hatred. When that is all that they see, it is no wonder that there are those who figuratively and literally hunker down in a bunker with survival gear and guns, waiting for the worst that the world has to offer because that's all they can see. There's a whole industry that has sprung up to take advantage of those who fear. find it in no time on TV and the internet. But what we are told and what we proclaim is the hope that comes from a righteous branch that springs up and that tells us to look for the kingdom of God. Not for a future long-off generation to come, but for us. In our place, right now, Jesus tells us to see the kingdom for ourselves. It's as evident as green leaves on a tree in the summertime. It seems far off right now to us as we approach the beginning of winter to think about those green leaves, but even so, we can take hope. We can take hope from the trees that are always green. The evergreens that we use to decorate with, for those, if we see them as they are to be seen, those are not just simply pretty distractions of green and ribbons and lights and decorations. Those trees are a symbol of hope, the hope of the kingdom of God. The hope of God's justice and God's peace. The hope of salvation for the world. And it is hope that becomes a reality in the coming of Jesus Christ. Let this be the story of Jesus that we tell and that we live. Let us pray. Almighty God of steadfast love and faithfulness, when we look and see only foreboding of things to come and ways of the world shaking our foundations, forgive us. Forgive us for not seeing the kingdom come again into our hearts and make our vision clear. To see plainly the ways of the kingdom that Christ has laid before us, so that we may live in hope and be alert to your goodness and grace made known in the coming of Jesus Christ.